You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. The Bureau of Land Management is moving more staff, but perhaps most significant, its headquarters are moving to the Mountain West. And depending upon who you talk to, this will either make the BLM more efficient or give preferential treatment to the fossil fuel industry. Our Noah Glick reports.
Grand Junction, Colorado is where the BLM is setting up its new base. The mid-sized town of about 63,000 people is named for the meeting spot of the mighty Colorado and Gunnison Rivers. A city tourism video puts it like this.
Grand Junction is where the Rocky Mountains give way to the natural beauty of the Southwest, and the differences are dramatic. There's nowhere else like it.
By the end of next year, 27 BLM staffers should move from Washington, D.C. to this idyllic town halfway between Denver and Salt Lake City, and hundreds more will be scattered across the West. Grand Junction Mayor Rick Taggart says the shakeup will give his city a stronger political voice.
As a smaller city in western Colorado, we're not as well known. And because of that, sometimes we don't have the voice even in our state government that we'd like to have.
But it's not just local community and leadership voices in our region that are set to be amplified. Jeremy Gelman is an assistant professor of political science at the University of Nevada, Reno, where he studies congressional partisanship and agenda setting. He says industry also stands to benefit.
So in the case of BLM, mining interests, logging companies, farmers, ranchers, their locus of power, their sort of epicenter of where most of their people are is out west. And Republicans want those folks easy access to BLM when regulations are being written.
And some of those folks will be close, very close. The Grand Junction headquarters will be in the same building as a corporate office for Chevron, a state oil and gas association, and Laramie Energy, an oil and gas producer. In a statement, a BLM spokesperson said any suggestion that the location was chosen to give select special interest groups unethical access is flagrant and ironic. Gelman says it's hard to know the intentions behind the decision, but overall, he says there's no doubt the move will make it easier for industry interests to access BLM bureaucrats, and harder for national environmental groups who employ lobbyists in Washington.
For really big stuff, you're going to expect all the big players to show up. But for the smaller day-to-day stuff, who you're hearing from, what's important, what's not important, that sort of access does matter. It's not everything, but it does sort of tilt the playing field a little bit to who can talk to those bureaucrats and who can get that face-to-face time.
That's a selling point for Utah Congressman Rob Bishop. He's the ranking Republican on the House Natural Resources Committee. He says moving the BLM out west will put agents closer to the lands they manage and the interests of those lands.
Having people on the ground who have the ability of making the final decision, not just having a job there locally, but also having the ability of making those decisions, that's going to be a net plus. That's going to benefit people.
Though not everyone, it seems, will benefit. Many BLM employees have expressed frustration over the move, and the investigative nonprofit ProPublica reported that since mid-July, 11 BLM employees have already quit, with more resignations expected to come. That has some Democrats and environmental groups worried, saying that losing these seasoned staffers could further strengthen the influence of the oil and gas industry. But Bishop doesn't buy that.
Why could simply the gas and oil industry have more influence than, say, an environmental group that's out there or a cattle ranger that's out there? I mean, I'm sorry, that's an argument that you come up with to try and find some reason to stop a logical move from going forward. There is no merit to that.
The rationale for it is hard to figure out. In fact, I don't think there is one.
That's House Natural Resources Committee Chairman Raul Grijalva, a Democrat.
Given the track record of this administration, particularly the Department of Interior, that seem to be whole bet on making sure that gas and oil are taken care of and the fossil fuel industry is taken care of above anything else.
Grijalva says his committee has not been given enough information on the types of jobs moving west, and he's concerned about decision-making positions being so far away from Congress.
The last thing you want is little fiefdoms in each state making their own decisions and doing their own procedures. And I think that's part of the intention, to allow a state that is all for extraction and nothing else to have the freedom to do that without any oversight by the federal government to the law and to other requirements.
Grijalva says he's prepared to issue subpoenas if the committee doesn't get the information it's looking for. The House and Senate have both refused to provide funding for the move in the latest budget, but a Department of Interior spokesperson says the relocation is moving forward using funding previously approved by Congress. The BLM could be in its new home by the end of next year. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Noah Glick.
And here to talk about this move in more detail is Noah Glick. He is a reporter for the Mountain West News Bureau, and he is based at KUNR in Reno, Nevada. Hey, Noah, good to have you with us.
Hey, Gemma, thanks for having me.
Okay, so let's just start by taking a step back. What initially prompted the BLM to move out west?
Well, I think, like the story says, it really depends on who you talk to. The Republican line has sort of always been that this move and these sorts of moves help save taxpayer money. It helps put federal resources closer to the lands that they manage, and that the move actually helps streamline decisions and processes by allowing those decision makers to be closer to the field offices and the lands they manage. The USDA made a similar decision to move some research agencies to Kansas City earlier this year. That's kind of the same line of argument, having agriculture close to those agricultural interests. But Democrats say, you know, it's a move to limit the size and scope of the federal government, you know, and it's an attempt to essentially dismantle the BLM by fragmenting it and by putting top officials outside of Washington and outside of that congressional oversight. I also heard some Democrats concerned with the speed in which this whole thing is happening. They feel like this whole move is being rushed without the appropriate oversight and thought process. And one important thing, though, to keep in mind is that House Natural Resources Committee Chairman Raul Grijalva, who we heard from, he said that 97% of BLM employees are already outside of Washington. So they're already in the field and state offices throughout the country, primarily out west. And this move is really to take those headquarters positions out of Washington, those that work closely with Interior, work with Congress and federal officials. So, you know, it really comes down to sort of a fundamental philosophy in government that goes back generations, right? You know, Republicans tend to run on platforms of a smaller, decentralized government, while Democrats typically support strong central control. So it's not entirely surprising to see the conflict sort of play out the way it is right now. And just to be clear, there will still be 61 positions in D.C., including the acting director, William Perry Penley.
Okay, so speaking of Penley, as you said, he is the acting director of the BLM. What is he saying about this move?
Well, during a congressional hearing last month, Penley called the move a win-win. He points really to the cost savings from the move. You know, he says that office space is expensive in Washington, D.C., and if we can, you know, move an agency out of Washington, D.C. to somewhere like Grand Junction, Colorado, which is where the BLM is moving, that's going to save taxpayer money just by having cheaper office space in of itself. And of course, as we heard in the story, it's one of the things that's interesting is the building that was selected for the new headquarters. The BLM is actually going to be sharing that building with some oil and gas interests. So, you know, that's got some environmental groups and Democrats concerned. But I think it's important to point out that office space is selected by the General Services Administration and not BLM officials themselves. But Utah Congressman Rob Bishop, who we heard from, he's not really concerned when I talk to him. He's the ranking Republican on the House Natural Resources Committee, and he really just points to those overall cost savings as one of the big selling points.
Well, and it's interesting, too, since Penley will remain in Washington. If the headquarters are moving, why in the world would the director not move with the headquarters?
That's a great question. That's something that's been asked of Penley as well. And I, you know, his answer seems to be that, you know, he's going to remain in Washington to maintain those relationships with federal officials, as well as to be close to Interior and to have that presence in Washington. So, yeah, it's an interesting dynamic we're going to see here moving forward.
So what about the cost of this? How is this big move getting paid for?
Well, the move itself, the way this is getting paid for, you know, I had a BLM spokesperson who told me that the agency received $5.6 million in previous congressional budget cycles for reorganization. So the move to Colorado is actually happening with previously approved funds. Now, the House and the Senate have both come out against the reorganization and this move to Colorado. So they're both houses are actually not funding this reorganization, this move to Colorado. So it's kind of an interesting conflict here, too, because the BLM is looking to provide incentives for employees to move out west, whether that's relocation or bonuses to move from D.C. out west. But they can only provide those incentives if Congress provides additional funding for the relocation. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't seem like they're going to do that.
So let's talk about the BLM employees themselves. I'm curious about what they're saying, because I've just heard anecdotally that some people who are in D.C. say they can't remain with the BLM because, you know, maybe their spouse or their partner is also a government employee, whereas many people are in D.C., and that you know, their spouse or their partner's job is not being relocated.
Right. And I think that's a lot of the kind of stories you're hearing right now from BLM employees. You know, there have been multiple media reports that have come out since the move was first announced that, you know, employees are frustrated. They feel like they haven't been a part of this this process, this decision making process this whole time. They feel like they've kind of been left out of certain details. They don't really know what's going on. They're not sure who's going out west or who's expected to go out west. And so, yeah, you're going to have a lot of situations, whether it's spouses keeping their jobs in D.C., you know, and we've already had some folks quit. You know, we've had a handful of BLM employees already put in their notice and quit. And there's several more that are expected to quit as well. And, you know, that's got some folks, particularly on the Democratic side, worried about losing some of that institutional knowledge from those lifelong servants or those longtime public servants. But, you know, Republicans say that, you know, most of the institutional knowledge is out in the field anyway. So if we lose a few employees or move them to the West, you know, we're not going to be the BLM's not going to be hurting from that situation. But, you know, it's hard to say at this point how that's going to play out.
Well, and as you mentioned, I mean, 97% of BLM employees work outside of D.C. already. So, I mean, that's a large number of its employees. So in the scope of things, we're not talking necessarily about a huge amount of individuals who will, frankly, be relocated.
Right. And I think it's important to note, too, that the Grand Junction, Colorado headquarters is expected to have 27 positions. So it's not like we're moving hundreds of jobs across the country. This is somewhat of a smaller move because of the fact that there are so many BLM employees that are sort of scattered primarily throughout the West. So, yeah, I mean, again, this is one of those situations where we're just going to have to kind of wait and see what happens and figure out some of those issues as they come up.
Hey, I appreciate you taking some time out of your day to talk more in depth with us about this issue.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. We have been talking with Noah Glick. He is a reporter for the Mountain West News Bureau. He's based in Reno, Nevada. I'm Gemma Gaudette. This is Idaho Matters.